This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is hour two, rolling along. Good Friday to you. We'll have Bob Nightingale in hour number three, talking Major League Baseball as we get ready for the All-Star break and the All-Star game in Seattle on Tuesday of next week. Home Run Derby, all of the excitement. But again, we'll be going into the second half of the season. Still a ways where the season is going to get tight, and you'll start watching races. But nevertheless, we'll be going into the stretch run of the season in the second half after the All-Star break. All right, there's a little bit of a controversy brewing, or a little bit of discontention brewing, on the LIV Tour between Brooks Koepka and young Matthew Wolf. Now, if you remember Matthew Wolf, but prior to COVID-19, where the world shut down, Matthew Wolf was a young golfer out of Oklahoma State who was a bright, bright young star. He has that kind of quirky swing, but he could hit it a long way. He was the best college player in 2019. His third start on the PGA Tour, he won the 3M Open in Minnesota. He also was, during the 2020 U.S. Open at Wingfoot, that was during the COVID shutdown, he had the 54-hole lead. The bright young star, 20, 21 years. He was part of, if you remember, when sports was trying to make a comeback, there was some golf events that occurred. There was like Rory and I forget who else. It was like Rory and I think Bryson. Matthew Wolf was part, Ricky Fowler. They were part of this foursome that played. It's like, oh God, we just want something. We just want sports. And they played at Seminole Club in Florida. Matthew Wolf was there. He was 20 years old. He was just a young kid, but a real bright star. But that star has been fading a bit. He's had some injuries. He hasn't closed out deals. He's got, and I don't want to make light of this, he actually stopped playing. He's been dealing with anxiety, some depression, things like that. But nevertheless, at 24 years old, 23 years old, I should say, he signed up to play on the LIV Tour. And so he takes this two-month break due to mental health issues and then signs on to play on the LIV Tour. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's, if you're a guy that's struggling, if part of your mental health is struggling a little bit with your game and the anxiety of your game, playing in a financially backed league where you're guaranteed money showing up to events seems a better way to do it than playing on the PGA Tour, where you're trying to earn a certain amount of money to pay for your, people around you, pay your caddy, pay your coaches, and in an industry where if you miss the cut, you don't get any money. So playing on the LIV Tour, where you're getting a big, huge check up front, money every time there's a tournament, might have eased a little bit of that. But that's not been the case. Matthew Wolf has not played very well on the LIV Tour. In fact, in one round in Washington, he quit in the final round. And his captain on Team Smash is Brooks Koepka. I can't believe I just – really? They can't come up with better names for this live, these better nicknames on the LIV Tour. Anyway, Team Smash, which is captained by Brooks Koepka, his captain has called him out. Koepka saying, quote, "I mean, when you quit on your round, you give up and stuff like that. That's not competing. I'm not a big fan of that. You don't work hard. It's very tough. It's very tough to have even a team dynamic when you've got one guy that won't work. One guy's not going to give any effort. He's going to quit on the course, break clubs, get down, bad body language. It's very tough. And this is one that hurts. Quote, I've basically given up on him. A lot of talent, but I mean the talent's wasted." I'll tell you, I think if you are a professional athlete in any sport, I think that one of the worst things people can say about you is that you've wasted your talent. You can be called lazy. You can be called a guy that doesn't have a good work ethic, because you can overcome those. You can say, listen, you may think I'm lazy, but when push comes to shove, I perform. Kind of like Allen Iverson. Practice. What are we talking about? Practice, right? I'm talking about game, not practice. Some players don't have to be the guy that's in the gym at 4 o'clock in the morning. Some people want to be that. Kobe wanted to be that. When I was a kid growing up in New England, all I heard was how Larry Bird would shoot basketballs until they had to force them because they needed to turn the lights off at the Garden, right? All of those things. You want to be that. Michael Jordan, same thing. Nobody gets there earlier than me. No one leaves later than me. There's athletes who pride themselves on that. But then there are other athletes who say, no, that's not me. I'm talented. I do my job when push comes to shove. But if you get called a wasted talent, it means you had it and you didn't know what to do with it and you just threw it away. And you threw it away on purpose. That's sort of implied in that sentence. It's wasted talent. They're not sympathetic to your health issues. They're not sympathetic to your mental health issues. They're not sympathetic to anything you may be going through personally. What Brooks Koepka is saying is this kid has all the talent in the world and he's just throwing it away. He's throwing it away. That's going to be a hard thing to hear. Now, I'll tell you this. This is the first time in following the LIV Golf Tour, as lightly as I've seen it, that I've seen this sort of team dynamic breakdown. I didn't even know there really was a team thing. I just kept hearing about it. I didn't know there were real teams. I always thought it was like, you get these four golfers, you get these four golfers, you get these four golfers, and you also get a bunch of money when this is all over. The individual sport is now, Brooks Koepka has to comment on a player on Team Smash that's not chipping in. What are we talking about here? Brooks Koepka, who struggled with his own game, let's not forget, before coming around and winning the PGA Championship this year and a bunch of other live events. Koepka, who was seen on the documentary sitting poolside while his super hot fiance was in a bikini and he could not look away fast enough. Like, don't distract me. I'm wallowing in my own self-pity because I didn't win the Waste Management Open in Phoenix when I bogeyed three of the last four holes. That's the Brooks Koepka we had not that long ago, who was saying on that documentary how he was ready to quit because he didn't feel like he could compete. But he got back. He got back his winning ways. Maybe a little support from Matthew Wolf, maybe. A little bit. I don't know what to make of the dynamic here. Do you think this is trumped up to give Liv a little bit more media exposure? They're still not on anything. Like, there's not even any highlights. I didn't even know there was a Liv event last weekend or this weekend, whenever there is. Apparently they're playing in London this week. I had no idea. Where is their PR team? I swear, if you're the Saudi Arabian trust fund, whatever it's called, the investment group, why haven't you hired a PR team that's not just shoving it on TikTok? I mean, you're doing a pretty good job, I guess, social media wise, but there are no highlights. I don't even know who wins these things. That should be everywhere. All right. Well, nevertheless, Brooks Koepka ripping on teammate Matthew Wolf, and Wolf said afterwards, he was kind of downtrodden by it. He said he's trying to do what he can to play the best round of golf, and that's going to help the team. And then here was the other part. Asked if he wanted to be on another team, Wolf shook his head and walked away from the interview. That's always good. Do that. He's 25th in the point standings among 45 golfers or whatever they only have. So Brooks Koepka can be a little tough. He can be a little hard on people. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Don't forget the good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up this hour as well. And then in hour three, Bob Nightingale will talk some baseball. So earlier we were talking about the fact that we've got NFL previews coming up starting next week. And I guess we're looking to start with the AFC East. Training camps will start at the end of the month, but there are two teams that will get a start early. And you can only imagine what that early start is going to mean for one particular team. Now, both teams get to start early because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game in early August. So they get that extra preseason game, and that's going to be the Jets and the Cleveland Browns. Now, the Jets, obviously with Aaron Rodgers, there's tons and tons of spotlight on them. What are they going to do? How are they going to be? But let's not forget that there's going to be some spotlight on the Cleveland Browns as well. Deshaun Watson has played the latter part of that season in already kind of a lost year. Browns tried to kind of make it interesting, but they just did not gain enough momentum without Deshaun Watson to make a significant run in the AFC. But now this is the full camp. This is Deshaun Watson's team now. He's got this team from start to finish, barring any injury. And let's not forget, I don't know what to do with Cleveland. That's the one part of the AFC in analyzing the AFC. I don't know where to put them. I don't know, like, are they a team that is in contention? I doubt it, right? Because Baltimore's good, Cincinnati's good. Are they a wild card team?
Are they? I mean, right now I'm looking at it. Are they two or three in the AFC North?
Right.
Right. Are they top seven in the AFC?
That's the big question, right? Because I can tell you right now, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to struggle. I know Indianapolis with the rookie QB is not in the conversation. I don't know if Sean Payton can immediately turn around Denver into that spot, but I'm expecting at least two teams in the West to be right there at the very end. So when I'm looking at the AFC and going, well, I got three, maybe four, depending on Belichick's magic, playing in the AFC East, and I know the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be there. I expect Baltimore to be there now that the Lamar Jackson stuff is behind them, and they picked up Odell, and they've got Todd Monken running an offense that should be better suited for Lamar Jackson. I don't know where to put Cleveland. I kind of don't want to discount some of the talent that's on that team, but I'm just wondering if the AFC is just too hard and too difficult for me to just look at Cleveland and say, yeah, they're one of the top seven teams. But I'm not putting them in like the Titans category, where I think the Titans have some holes that they're not filling right now. And that might be, they might win and lose and win and lose, not enough to raise any playoff expectations. I think the Browns are going to be better than that, but worse than, let's say, the third team out of the East between the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins. All right, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll get more into that conversation continuing as we roll along on a Friday.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It is the good, the bad, and the dumb Friday edition. Glad you can be with us. This is where we give you the good, the bad, the dumb as we head into the weekend. Let's get the good of the day.
Now we're heading into the weekend strong, because the good of the day is I'm hoping that these players never change.
Okay.
Because we always get fun content out of them. And so I'm highlighting just two players, two former NBA stars. First one being Dennis Rodman.
All right.
So Dennis Rodman recently got a tattoo of his girlfriend's face on his face.
Oh, no. Really? I thought he had tattoos already on his face.
Hey, probably, I'm sure he has tattoos on his face, but he didn't have his girlfriend's face on his face.
Oh, okay. So he found some room.
He found some room.
Well done, Dennis Rodman.
I mean, that's love.
That is love, man. That is love.
I could never do it. I could never get my wife's face on my face.
You don't know. Like, you know, what happens down the road? Like, Dennis Rodman's been through a million relationships. What happens if she...
Yeah.
If he doesn't like her anymore?
Well, I mean, is this appealing, too?
No.
I mean, if you're his girlfriend, do you want to be looking lovingly in your boyfriend's face, seeing your face on his face?
You know what, man? I got to give guys credit. They come up with these ideas, and then they actually go through with it.
Yes.
Like it's one thing to be like, you know what, man? I want to put Lisa's face on my face. You need a buddy that goes, no, you don't, man. No, you don't. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. But no, they go.
Slow down there, partner.
They go, I want to put Lisa's face on my face. And the buddies go, great, I'll book you. How about 2 o'clock at the tattoo parlor tomorrow? And the guy goes, sure. And then he sleeps on it and he wakes up and he goes, today's the day. Lisa's face is going on my face. And then they get to the parlor and the guy goes, all right, give me a picture. And then they start and he's literally in it. There's never a point where he goes, stop, what am I doing? Whoa, 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 stop, what am I doing? Nope. He's all in.
He's all in.
He's all in. Dennis Rodman's,
He's one of a kind.
He is one of a kind. Remember he went to North Korea? Remember when he was buddies with...
He's an ambassador, yeah, Tony. The U.S. ambassador.
Kim Jong-un, is that who it was? The son of the other guy?
Best friends with him.
Best friends. Yep. Said he was awesome.
He's the only one that can broker peace between our nations.
Unreal. Unreal. Who's the other athlete?
The other athlete is... Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard?
Yeah.
I heard this. His girlfriend called him evil or something?
Oh, sure. But I'm not talking about that.
Not about that? Okay, go ahead.
No. What Dwight Howard is guilty of, I guess, is saying that in his prime, he was a far much better player than Nikola Jokic.
Oh, he was? Was he?
Yeah.
He was.
He said he was getting 38 and 20, 45 and 18, 19, 20, and he was doing it all with twos.
Oh, that's right. He wasn't. So he wasn't knocking down him from behind the arc?
No.
Oh, Dwight Howard.
And that's another one where I just want, I was like, you know what? Don't change, please.
Remember when,
you know?
remember the summer of, what, 14, 13, one of those, whatever the summer was that he went to the Rockets? Remember Jim Parsons
Vaguely.
Of the Big Bang Theory was making videos urging Dwight Howard to go to the Rockets? Like that was a big, that was like a big free agent summer, and then nothing happened. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
You know,
now Dwight Howard claims that he's a top 10 center of all time.
See, the problem is that if you are a top 10 center, you usually have hardware to back it up in a way that makes people go, I remember you winning all of this stuff.
Yeah. Does That's he even have an NBA championship?
Was he on a team that won? Was he?
Because I know it wasn't him.
Was he on the Lakers team that won in 2020?
That's a great question.
I lost track of him because he disappeared in this league. So,
I mean, there was a time where he was one of the top players in the game.
Oh, sure.
And I remember when he left Orlando, or he was leaving Orlando. I mean, that was a hot.
Well, he was.
Hot piece.
He was on the. He was in the finals with Orlando in what 2009? Kobe winning the
right.
He was on that Orlando team, but I think he did. I want to say he played for the Lakers. Yeah, I think he won a ring with the Lakers in 2020
in the bubble.
Yep, he did. I looked it up. He did.
All
That's
right.
it. That's all he's got.
So he's got the one.
He's yeah. got the one.
NBA champion.
And
I'm looking up,
forever.
Staring at it right there.
There it is.
8-time All-Star, 5-time first team.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's got that going for him, but I don't know if you're a top 10 center in this game of all time. And we've had some pretty remarkable centers.
Yeah. He was the number one overall pick.
Yeah, no, okay.
And Nikola Jokic was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
I'm giving him some stuff, but
right.
I don't know about, you know, Nikola Jokic already has, two MVPs and a finals MVP?
We may have. I am willing to concede this. And I think that the NBA media in the last 2-3 months has gone a little bit with the juice of, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen ever in NBA history.
Yeah.
With both Nikola Jokic and Victor Wembanyama. All the NBA guys are like, Nikola Jokic may be the greatest NBA player who has ever played the game. Nobody's ever played the position like he's ever played the position. And then Victor Wembanyama, he is even rarer than a unicorn, which doesn't even exist. Like, they've gone a little bit brewing up the hyperbole, which may come true, but boy, the last 2 months, if you took a shot for every time somebody said greatest ever, you'd be very, very drunk over the last 2 months.
I will say this though. I didn't realize this, but Dwight Howard is still playing.
Where is he still playing?
Taiwan.
Is he playing in Taiwan?
Yeah. In fact, this year,
credit for that.
This year he was voted league's most valuable import. He made the all T1 league first team, all defensive first team. He was the rebounds leader and all-star game most famous player. And he was the all-star game MVP.
Very good.
So, I mean, he's making noise in Taiwan. I don't know if that's a big deal or not.
I'm up for that.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Plays for the Taiwan Leopards. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not bad.
So what is the bad of the day?
I got two for you, all right? We're very quick bads.
Right,
the first
good.
One is Just Stop Oil. The organization interrupted a match being played at Wimbledon yesterday by throwing orange confetti on the grounds.
Okay. This Stop Oil, are these the same people that...
They're the, like, one, they're the ones
the
who
paint?
Always do orange, yeah. Throw paint on buildings,
yeah,
paint on cars and stuff
and
like that.
Paintings
so,
in museums.
Yeah, so...
Super glued themselves
right.
once.
So yeah, they infiltrated the grounds at Wimbledon, jumped on the court, and threw orange confetti on the grass.
Okay.
Now, the reason why I'm putting this in bed is, first of all, you know, hey, you know, I don't like protesters interrupting sporting events. Stupid. You know,
right.
I like my sporting events to go on without a hitch. But where it really goes in the bat is that they jumped on court 18.
Oh.
Okay. So, you know, that's one of the courts. You know when they do like a aerial shot of Wimbledon, they show you the whole grounds? That's right. One of those smaller courts off in the corner.
That's like where that you guys play there.
That may have, like, you know, they have, like, the high school athletic risers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like I was going to say, that's like the friends and family court.
Yeah.
Like, hey, everybody.
I mean, those matches count. Tony, yeah, those matches count.
They count, but they're not in, they're not center
it's
court.
It's not center court, no.
They're not playing in front of William and Kate.
And, you know, as opposed to last year where they, I guess, threw orange dust, they threw orange confetti, which, you know, Wimbledon comes equipped with the vacuum cleaner that just sucked it up pretty quickly. So it was a short-lived protest.
Got it.
That's where it came bad. The second bad, real quick, I don't really have a whole lot of information on this, but, you know, I fear that this could end up becoming a bigger story. It could become the summer story of 2023. And that is the rumors that are flying around that Tom Brady and Kim Kardashian are involved.
What?
Yeah.
They're a couple?
That they're a couple. I guess these rumors intensified after, I believe his name is Mark Rubin. He throws an annual all-white party at his house on the Hamptons.
All right, when you say all-white, meaning white all-white dress. Garments. Not-
yeah.
Okay.
No, it's not. Yeah. Let me back up.
All white. Okay.
Not the ethnicity.
If I'm Tom Brady, I ain't going to an all white party.
Not the ethnicity. I mean, Kevin Hart was there. So
okay, I got you.
You dress head to toe all white.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like you can't. It's almost like you're at Wimbledon.
It's almost like Wimbledon. Yeah. Right. I was going to say it's like Wimbledon.
And it just happens to always happen around Wimbledon. So maybe there's a connection there. But Mark Rubin, he's a billionaire, has a gigantic house on the Hamptons. This is the most exclusive party of the summer, if not the year. It's a who's list of who's there. It's incredible, stupid. But rumors are flying that Tom Brady and Kim Kardashian may be somewhat of an item.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know what that really does for society, but it can't be good.
I wish I had a TMZ interest, but what happened to the blonde model wearing the jersey?
Well, you know what? Maybe Tom Brady's just like, whatever. Yeah. I'm just going to do what I want to do.
I was telling you off the air that I saw Josh Allen was dating Haley Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought he had a girlfriend from high school that he's been with forever, and they made a life in Buffalo.
No, and I think you're right. I think, you know, he sat back and, you know, you said this off air too, that he woke up one morning and went, wait, I'm Josh Allen.
Yeah. And then he looked at his girlfriend and said, you're not. I met you in algebra class.
Yeah.
I can date women now that star in movies and or record songs.
She can introduce me to all the Pitch Perfect stars.
Exactly. All right, we'll continue the good, the bad, and the dumb next. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call. SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll get back to the good, the bad, and the dumb. You have another bad coming up, or are we going right to the dumb?
No, we're going right to the dumb.
All right, very good. Our friends at Baseball Barbecue have done it again. Makers of patented bat-handled barbecue tools and cutting boards, Baseball Barbecue can customize their products or engrave them with the logos of your favorite Major League teams. For the upcoming Baseball Midsummer Classic, Baseball Barbecue will make a commemorative home plate cutting board engraved with the All-Star logo and the names and the facsimiles of signatures of every player. The products are built to last. They're fun. They're functional. They must have for baseball fans and serious grillers alike. Visit baseballbarbecue.com. That's baseballbbq.com. Use the code SportsMap20 for 20% off of your order today. Good stuff. I have a cutting board. I got a barbecue handle. I got a spatula. I got those tongs. Yep. I love them. They're great stuff. Great tools. I use them all the time.
Yeah, you do the man thing, right? When you get the tongs.
Yeah, click them.
Got to click them.
I click them.
Just to make sure that they're working. Yeah.
By the way, real quick on that Stop Oil people in Wimbledon, they're threatening the British Grand Prix this weekend in Formula One. And a couple of the drivers said, please don't. I don't know if I can stop in time. I don't know.
Yeah, like, you know, hopefully
don't run on the racetrack.
If they're to do anything, hopefully they're smart enough to realize not to get into, the straightaway.
Lewis Hamilton has said, I support their cause, but please do not run on the track. It's very dangerous. We're going 180 miles an hour.
Right.
Like we're just, we're not going to be able to see you in time if you just decide to run on and
yeah, that's what you want to say. You will die.
And then they were saying don't throw like those orange smoke bombs. Like the not smoke bombs, but smoke. I guess they're called smoke bombs. I mean,
right.
Things that smoke up. It's like, don't throw those on the track when we're racing. Please, please, please. Like begging this group not to disrupt for safety reasons.
No, because how dangerous that'd be if you threw like dangerous. A couple of smoke bombs on there and, it's a hairpin turn, but now you can't really see.
Can't see. Right, exactly. All right, let's get to the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day. Social media wars, Tony.
Social media wars.
Yeah,
okay.
I've been kind of like piecing it all together. I still don't have all the details, but while you were away,
yes,
and I didn't really know this. I think it happened over the weekend or earlier this week. I'm not sure the timeline on it, but Facebook and Instagram got together and created a new Twitter-esque site called Threads.
All right, that's funny because Philip actually asked me yesterday if I know anything about Threads,
yeah.
And I hadn't looked into it yet.
I haven't really looked into it yet either, so I cannot speak on what Threads is, except for the fact I guess it's very much similar to Twitter.
Okay.
And it's wanting to compete with Twitter because, as we all know, Twitter's on the downside of life.
Yeah, they've been they're kind of popping also. They've been negative lately.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Elon Musk has done, but I mean, there's been a couple. I mean, the most recent one was like, we got to limit you to only seeing 600 tweets a day. First of all, I still think that's a lot.
That's still a lot.
But a lot of people were up in arms like, I can only view 600 tweets. And I'm like, wow, you're on Twitter
a lot.
What
a life. What a life if you can't get through with 600 tweets.
So where is the social media war heading? Well, the first step was, I'm going to come back to the first step. The second step, apparently, or the most recent one, is Elon Musk is threatening to sue Mark Zuckerberg, Meta, and the creators of Instagram for creating Threads.
No, that's – is what – okay, I don't know much about that industry,
I don't
but
think
is it
he
proprietary?
Has, I don't think so. I mean if that's the case, then, like, you know, anything that – I mean, you sue anything, I guess.
Hasn't the argument always been to – it doesn't matter what side of the political aisle you're on, when they – like – for example, liberals who don't like Fox News, and they go, well, create another Fox News. Or conservatives that didn't like the old Twitter, they go, well, get your own Twitter. Like, hasn't that always been the thing the other side has slung at the other side? Now you're saying, you couldn't have done that this whole time. Like, there's that somehow it's proprietary, posting thoughts on some feed? That doesn't sound like you own that. It just sounds like you may own how it's done. You may own your business model, but it's like hamburgers. McDonald's doesn't go, well, you can't make hamburgers because we have hamburgers. Would that sound like the case?
It sounds like that's my logic too, my thinking.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a proprietary thing. Like, you can't own just a hamburger, like you said.
Right.
Anyone can make a hamburger.
I mean, maybe it's the program, but it doesn't sound like it's a – I mean, again, I don't know much about – like, I don't know it's coding, so I don't know if this is a coding thing that you have to
– But anyone can code.
If you code it, do you own it? Like, I mean, if you code it, is that yours? Or can somebody else go, well, it's a pretty basic concept. So I don't know. But
I
doubt
either.
It.
But –
I mean, wasn't there a bunch of others that came around?
Aren't they
like,
all kind of that way? Aren't they all just kind of like posts?
I feel like this is like the second or third one that has sort of popped up where it's like, oh, no, I'm on.
I almost feel
I'm on
like
Truth Social or I'm
right.
on.
Right. I almost feel like it's the USFL, the AAF, XFL,
yeah.
Just trying to find their own little niche in the world to compete with the NFL.
I gotcha.
Or not really even try to compete with the NFL. They're just trying to make some money.
Okay.
So, but the other larger part to this is that there is a proposed fight, cage match fight, between Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk.
Oh,
now,
okay.
a date has not been set.
I've seen this. I saw this when I was on vacation. Okay. I
it
want
started
to be proven
off,
wrong. I really want to be proven wrong here, but I think this does not happen at all.
I 100% agree with you.
I'd love to be wrong on this.
Now, apparently, I think Musk is training, or Zuckerberg is training with a UFC fighter. I think it's Musk who's training with the UFC fighter. It started off as an offhanded remark out of Musk's mouth, and then Mark Zuckerberg said, sure, I'll meet you in a cage.
Yeah.
And it kind of escalated from there. Now there's a lot of people who are, you know, a lot of... Dana White needs to get all over this. I mean, I don't know why his name hasn't been linked to this yet. You know, stop doing the slapping thing and start concentrating on social media war number one.
Well, let me ask a question. I actually just said I want to see it, but I don't know if I – do I really want to
see
it?
Okay, no. Let me,
I got to be honest
no,
with you.
I know what you're saying. This is what you're saying. You want to hear about it. You want to read about the results. You don't actually want to physically watch it. You may want to see a highlight. You're
glad.
Not wanting to tune in for $99.99 and settle in for the night and invite friends over. You're not wanting to go that route.
I agree.
If you happen to be at a bar and it's on one of the TVs, bonus.
Here's my problem. I use Facebook. I use Twitter. I don't drive a Tesla, but I respect the business. I'm glad Elon Musk wants to go to space and do more of that as a private citizen. I get it. But as individuals, I couldn't care less about either one of these guys.
No.
As individuals. What they've done, great. So I don't think I would find myself looking for a cage match between these two just because they're famous billionaires. But I also think that in the end, there are going to be some people in their circles that are like, you are not going into that. There's no way you're going into that.
Here's the equivalent to it, okay? Here's the equivalent to it. Back in our day, back, you know, we got to go way back into the 1990s, Tony.
Or 80s.
Would you have wanted to see a throwdown of the late night wars? You remember that? Where it was between Jay Leno and David Letterman.
Oh, yeah.
Would a cage match have interested you with those two?
Maybe.
Not at all.
Maybe. I saw, if you see Night Shift, that story behind that was actually very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I'm with you. That's kind of where I'm at with that.
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
I'd want to hear about it, read about it, maybe see a highlight or two that, you know, pop up on a video feed on either Twitter or Facebook. I could care less which one.
I'm with you.
I'll find it somehow, some way. But, yeah, I have no interest in – I would never drop money on this. If you want me to see it, you better be for free.
You're right. I mean, yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, apparently, you know, there's a new social media app that I guess we need to download.
I did see this.
I don't know.
As we were doing this, I looked it up, and apparently Mr. Beast has a million followers already.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. I don't get it.
I'm not holding it against Mr. Beast being able to obtain a million followers. I'm just surprised that there are a million other people already using Threads.
Yeah, I know. He jumped on that thing and a million people immediately started following Mr.
Beast. I'm going to assume that's not everyone.
Okay.
That there's more than a million people. I'm going to assume that there's a lot of people who already have downloaded Threads who are using it.
Are there any 40-year-olds following Mr. Beast, or is he just basically got a young crowd?
It's got to be a young crowd.
Right? Does that mean they've jumped
on this?
All
three of my boys know, and that's an age range from 15 to 6.
Yeah, I mean, every young person I know knows who Mr. Beast
is. Yeah, I know of him.
But I don't know I never heard an adult ever talk about any Mr. Beast video. And I've heard my friends talk about videos. I've seen my friends post videos, funny videos. There's like that couple... that sing parody songs.
Yes.
I get 50,000 of those whenever they post.
The Holmans or something. Holders.
Holdersons. When they do a parody song on my feed, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, I got 25 people sending that out.
I think they won the Amazing Race.
Maybe they do, yeah.
No, I'm
but
saying
anything
the TV
Mr.
show.
Beast does, none of my adult friends have ever tweeted, but the kids all know who he is. All know who he is. And whatever he's doing. It's nuts.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, heading into the weekend. By the way, I'll give you a little recommendation, take it or leave it. There's a show on Hulu. It's in its second season called The Bear. I just wrapped up watching that this week. Saw the last episode of season two yesterday.
Not Cocaine Bear?
Not Cocaine Bear. highly recommend The Bear. Very good show. Good cast. Good storylines about a young man and Got a family dynamic. It's food. It's a food show. He's a chef. It's one of those type of things. But he's Jamie Lee Curtis, Oliver Platt, John Berthall is in it as well. I think I'm mispronouncing his last name, but he's in a bunch of things. It's got a good cast, good young actors in it as well. And so I recommend The Bear. Again, season two. You can catch it all on Hulu if you have Hulu. All right, we just got wrapped up the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue here on Sports Map Radio. I wanted to know if you were going to do this week. I'm kind of glad you didn't because I wanted to make my own segment. Have you seen the TikTok video? And it's starting to get a lot of people commenting on it about the woman on a plane who went absolutely bananas. Yeah,
over reptile man.
Over shapeshifter man.
Yeah.
All right. So I didn't think anything of this when I first saw it. I just kind of caught it. And there's just this woman going, she's basically screaming. She's going to get off the flight. And she turns around. And she said, don't believe me. Don't believe you're going to die on this flight. Which I don't like you saying, by the way, when you're right on a plane. But she's going to leave the flight. And she just basically, people were implying that she saw a shapeshifter sitting next to her. Now, of course, what happens in these situations is everyone wants to jump on the moment. If for a perfect example, if I've seen one, I've seen a trillion Titan sub implosion videos from everybody.
Yep.
That wants to have, here's what the people on the sub's last words were.
Here's the audio recording.
Exactly. Everyone's got something that nobody else has, and it's all phony. So you had people making videos like, I was on the plane. I remember this guy had black eyes, and he was staring straight at her. And no one's telling the truth. No one's telling the truth. But there was one person that was on that flight that I know was on that flight that I give credibility to. That's comedian Carrot Top. Comedian Carrot Top was on that flight to Orlando when the lady went bananas over the shapeshifter.
Well, was he the one being talked about?
Well, no, because I know what you're doing. I hear what you're saying. No, but it is really wild piece of video, man.
No, my favorite thing about that video is that when she gets to that point where she's walking, you know, she stops at that part of the plane, and she's pointing back there.
Yeah,
everyone in their seats turns around to look.
Right, I know.
I love that. It's like
great.
Everyone's just like, oh wait, what's she talking about? I want to see the guy.
So I have a larger question to this. This is why I brought this up, because I thought this was a larger issue. Do we want aliens among us? Do we want shapeshifters? Do we want people like that? Like, it's scary, but I think there was a kind of a fascination with people, like, kind of hoping it was true. Like, this is why I bring this up. She wasn't immediately dismissed as a lunatic by a certain group of people on the interweb.
No, like, and she wasn't.
Like, I started
and she wasn't
seeing.
Like, you have, usually when you see that, somebody is immediately labeled Karen.
Right.
Before you
right
find out the full story that, no, this man, you know, there was a man over there that, you know, accosted her or something,
yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
You find out the whole story, like, oh, I'm sorry for calling you Karen.
There are videos on YouTube of people saying, hold on, kids, I got some other video of shapeshifters, and the videos are off, and you can see some editing, and you go, all right, now. But it's not exactly being dismissed by everybody. Now, I'm not saying a majority of people believe her. I'm not saying she's in good company. Most people think she was crazy. Most people think she's got something wrong with her, and it was better if she wasn't on the flight, because if the flight had taken off, she could have caused some serious problems. They would have had to divert the flight, et cetera.
Yeah, like being one of those guys.
They had to delay
that,
it at the airport anyway.
Yeah, like being one of those guys that opens the door mid-flight.
Right, or something like that. Or William Shatner in the Twilight Zone thinking the gremlin's on the wing, right? Remember that episode?
Yeah.
Like, but there are people that are like, no, hold on. I wonder if there is a group of us that kind of want this to happen, want this to be real. Like, want
interesting
aliens to be, even if they're going to eat us in 20 years, I don't know. But I wonder if people are like kind of hoping she's not crazy. But I kind of think she's crazy. I remember.
I'm not going to say she's crazy. I do think that maybe alcohol played a role.
I think so too.
Maybe some drug
so
use
too
played a role.
I think that as well.
You know, when you are trying to expand the mind, sometimes, you know, you do lose sight of reality. It's what I've been told.
Yeah. I would buy into that. I would buy into that. Billy Corgan, the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins.
He was on the plane too?
But he was on Joe Rogan's podcast a number of years ago, and he hinted at knowing shapeshifters. He didn't give in a lot of details, wouldn't talk about it, but hinted that he knows that he has seen shapeshifters in his life. Like, there are people who are like, all right, no, this is real. I personally don't believe it, but
maybe he is.
I kind of think there are people out there that do. And listen, if I see somebody say, "Hey, man, I saw a lizard person at the bar the other night," I'd be like, "Okay, stop." This woman, let's get to the context of this for a second. We live in a world where everybody's filming everything at all times. In fact, we live in a world, unfortunately, where if something tragic is happening, people would rather get their phones out and film it rather than do something about it.
Than intervene.
So we live in this
world
now.
Why we get all these fight videos.
That's right. Nobody ever wants to step up and stop a fight between two people, even if the fight is unfair, meaning a guy is 6'5", and the person he's beating up is 5'5". Nobody will step in and do anything, but they'd rather film it. So this woman, whether she was out of her mind or not, she is aware, at least when she's yelling, she's aware that people are filming her, and she rides with it to the very end, meaning she is willing to be filmed saying this stuff than going up to the flight attendant and going, "I can't be on this flight. I got to get off this flight right now." Just quietly going, "Please get me off this flight. Please, please, please get me off this flight. I can't be on this flight. I got to get off." And them doing whatever they have to do to get her off. She's willing to stand there, yell at everybody, but stand her ground that what she saw freaked her out so much that she was willing to do it. Now, I agree with you. I think there was something extra that was going on with her. But it makes that video stranger than this woman was scared out of her wits and is willing to share that fright with everybody on that plane and everybody that she knows is going to film it and post it. And they're all good with it. Yeah, like nobody gets up and goes, "What's wrong, man? What's wrong? Who? Who? What? Let's." Nobody is willing to go, ma'am, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm putting my arm around you. I know you're scared. I know I'm a stranger, but I'm Mike or I'm Susan. I want to give you a hug. Who are we talking about? What are we talking about over here?" Nobody does that. They just let Karen be Karen, screaming her way off an airline. My good. Everybody filming it. Everybody. Listen, I hate to admit this, but if I see something awesome, forget this. I'm not pulling out a phone to catch people on video fighting or anything. But if I'm somewhere and I see something, I can't get to my camera fast enough to record anything.
Yeah, I'm
always
sorry,
like, where it is it? Where's my out? There it is. Okay, camera. Well, no. Where's the video? Okay, by the time I'm doing it, it's over.
Yep.
You know, people know that they go right to it. Click, click, bam, I got you.
No, I always feel bad because my son will ask, and he's like, "Hey, did you get that defensive play on?" I mean, I was like, "No."
No.
You know, and I realize it's like, yeah, I should probably be filming more, but I mean, how am I going to know that you're going to make a great play at third or a great play at center?
And you want to film a whole high school baseball game for 3 hours?
Yeah, just for a 30 second clip. It's not going to happen, but at bat, sure. But I mean, there are times where you can see something happening. It's like you have that thing. It's like I'm still. It's never going to be fast enough.
Right.
Yeah, I'll get the aftermath.
So anyway, if Carrot Top is in the news over the next couple of days, you'll know why.
I love that it's Carrot Top. I don't know why.
Carrot Top, you know why he bulked up? Remember when he was early in his career?
Yeah.
Man, they asked him, "But Carrot Top, man, you're built like a bodybuilder." He goes, "Yeah, I got a gig in Vegas. It's at night. I had nothing to do during the day, so I decided to just go to the gym every day." And that's how he got ripped. Like,
no, he's
huge.
Muscle
and fitness, and
he's huge,
gigantic.
But I gotta say, ditch the black eyeliner, man. That's a creepy look.
He looks weird, man.
He looks weird.
He looks weird. But nevertheless, he was on the shapeshifter flight. All right. Bob Nightingale joins us in Hour 3 talking some baseball first half of the season. We'll continue his wake-up call.